In the name of the living Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are called upon today to consider in our thoughts sanctuary. And so I thought I would start off by getting out my dictionary and see what the definition for sanctuary was. Actually, I wish I hadn't, because my dictionary is of a sufficient age where humanity is not even mentioned. The nearest it gets to what we observe sanctuary is when it says a safe place for the resting of animals and birds. Now, what quite category we come in at, I'm not quite sure. So I decided to close the dictionary, put it back on the shelf, and probably about another 10 years I might open it again. Because very often things go in circles, don't they? And possibly in 10 years' time, the definition that's in my dictionary now will be fashionable then. But meantime, we'll forget it. But sanctuary to us, I can describe simply as a safe shelter. And we live in a world today where the need for sanctuary for human populations is perhaps greater than it's been since the last two world wars. It is sad, isn't it, that when we look at our news constantly and see more shattered buildings, when we see more of children and young people who have been left desolate because their families have been destroyed. And I cannot but always ask myself, how can human beings treat their fellow human beings in that way? But they do. And then we get the question from our critics, do we not? Where is your God in this? And sometimes we struggle to give any sort of answer or reasoning. But surely the most obvious of the reasoning we can offer is to say, what you do is not the will of God. God shows to us through Jesus Christ the way and the truth of new and correct life. But yes, we don't always do the will of God, do we? In one of those readings today, we read about those who went incense and offerings in the mountainside and all sorts of illustrations of their worship interpretation to God. And it's not what's the will of God, it's what's the will of man through his ill interpretation of the will of God. When I look at Gaza, and when I look at the Ukraine, I ask myself, where is God in this? But the only answer I can give to myself and pass on to others is that it is our interpretation of God's will, which is not his will at all. Now let us look at a few examples of what we can and do in this age to give sanctuary to people in despair. We have our open house on Thursday afternoon. And one of the joys of that gathering is that on most Thursdays there are many men who come in to that open house, and often they are in the majority and they are people who would not normally walk through the doors of our church. But many of them have been coming so often now that the question is how good it is to see them come in. We look around and think, oh, where are they? They're not here today. Something else has called them. Yes, they are part and become part of our congregation of God's people on that day. We give them a place, and a place of sanctuary which they've not known too often before. But then let us look at other aspects of life. When we prepare ourselves to come to worship, we think of their absent friends and people whom we love and miss. And we give them in our prayers into the hands of God for care and attention. But God needs help sometimes. And if he cannot turn to you and I as followers of his Son Jesus Christ, how can we tell people about the love and sanctuary which God can offer? And we can go on, can we not, on all sorts of ways which God reveals himself. Now, quite often, when I'm called upon to preach as today, when I'm putting my thoughts together in the weeks beforehand, I look round for examples which I can quote God's presence. But more often than not, I often come to a church to take a service and I say to myself, I'm not sure what I'm going to say today. But when I start, the adrenaline comes and sometimes I go away from the church after worship and hear the comments of people of what I've said. I can only respond, they weren't my words. They were the words which God put in me at that time and place. Now that is the pattern of life generally, isn't it? How many times do we make plans? How many times do we have conversations and then realize that wasn't what we were thinking about at all? That is what God is saying, not what we are saying. And so we look back at that gospel reading where the healing of the man of the unclean spirits, to me, and forgive me for saying this, but it's one of the gospel readings which I find very painful and very untoward. But it is there for a purpose. It is there to let us know that God cares and gives sanctuary to the most unusual and the most unlikely, and even more to that degree, He chooses you and I, who are part the most unlikely people, to bring others to an understanding. And it's an understanding which is of vital importance today. Now, after the man had been cured of the unclean spirit, he asked Jesus if he could stay with him. And Jesus said, no, you are to go into your own town, into your own companies, and let them know what I and the Lord have done for you. And so that reading ends with the words, go and tell the world what God has done for you. And with that command, and with that quotation, comes to you and I for a sense of direction. And what is that sense of direction? That sense of direction is to experience and know the will, the power, and the sanctuary which God gives to us. But it has an additional command. It isn't just a gift which He gives to us to experience. It is a gift which He gives to us and shows us the way to seek to bring others into the presence of God and to know what He has done for them. It's good, isn't it, that we can come into worship. And sometimes, as a preacher, when we've taken a service, we ask ourselves, have we shown to anyone a way of the will of God? It can be maybe through the sermon, but perhaps not very likely. It can be Through the hymns we sing, which is the words of others that have written, or it can be through the prayers we offer. And I'll never forget our Patsum church when I used the prayer, which I didn't normally use in worship. And several members of the congregation said to me as they were going out, "You didn't say your usual prayer today," which means when I go home, I've got to say it myself. But it's there that prayer was a meaningful prayer for some of those people. And anything in our worship which can show to us an example of what the sanctuary that God offers to everyone is available to everyone, and it is there for you and I to help them to understand, at the same time understanding what it's about ourselves. It is a privilege, isn't it, that this church and circuit is one of the foremost first in the connection to be a church of sanctuary. And it is something that we should look upon like simply what we do on a Thursday afternoon, to know that we are showing to other people what the church is really about and what the sanctuary that it offers is for one and all. Amen.